So we come to the fifth sermon in the series, The Highway of Holiness. And in our journey so far, we have seen what holiness is, the foundation on which we can build a holy life, the only foundation. And last week, we saw that the experience of holiness is one of conflict. So we've got two to go. The series finishes next week, and tonight we're going to look at the standard of holiness. The question is, to what level of standard of holiness does God call us to? Does he require a reasonable standard, taking into account our human weakness? Or is it an absolute standard in line with his holiness? Is it enough for us to be middling or perhaps mediocre? Or is it perfection that is God's standard? Well, how can we know? Where do we find God's standard? Well, God has given us an infallible guide. He has given us his holy law. It is in the holy law of God that we find the standard of God, of holiness, by which God wants us to live our lives. And so it is to that law that we turn this evening. And of course, you'll have noticed that the whole of that psalm is David's appreciation of the law of God, and his prayers are all around that. So we started off with 3 points. I then had 4 points. I now have 2 points, so we had the whole lot. It could just be the first two of the four, so that the operator knows. And the 2 points we're going to look at this evening, quite briefly. First of all, God's holy law reveals the standard of holiness. And second, God's holy law reveals the heart and the soul of holiness. In Psalm 119, David uses several words to speak of the same thing. You'll have noticed. Commandments, precepts or rules, statutes or laws, ordinances, regulations, the way things are ordered, judgments, testimonies, and just the word of the Lord. But these all refer to one thing, and that is to the holy law of God. And when we speak about the law of God, we're not just referring to what was given to Moses, the Ten Commandments and all that, but we're talking about what is given throughout the Bible, which includes the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ and the commandments of his apostles as well. It's a bit like the law of our land. It's not just contained in Acts of Parliament, but common law, statutory instruments, regulations, case law, and even international law. Lots of places where the law is found. And it's the same in the Bible. The law of God, God's holy standard, is found, and his commandments are found throughout the Bible. But as we focus on Psalm 119, we will discover here that there are great principles of the holy law of God, the principles on which they are based and on which they work. And as you read this psalm, you can't miss them. You can easily find them. And we're just going to try to look at a few of these principles of God's law that we find in Psalm 119. Okay, so the first one is that God's law is righteous. David says, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right. He speaks of your righteous word. Righteous are you, O Lord, he says, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous. So this is the first great principle of the law of God, that it is absolutely right. It is bang on right. God's law is righteous. Second thing we find is that God's law is true. And again, you'll see these references in the psalm. Your law is truth, and all your commandments are truth. The entirety of your word is truth. So David says in response, I hate and abhor lying. Remove from me the way of lying. I've chosen the way of truth. I hate every false way. So this is the second principle of God's law. It is true. It is accurate. It is perfect. There's no error. There's no inconsistency. God's law is a true reflection of the character of God. It's true. Third thing we discover, without looking too far, is that God's holy law is pure. Righteous, true, pure. As David says, your word is very pure. The commandment of the Lord is pure, it says in Psalm 19. And this is the third standard, the principle of the law. The law of God has a standard of absolute moral purity. It is very pure. Next thing we discover is that God's law is faithful. It's an interesting one, this. Sort of puzzled over this one a bit. All your commandments are faithful. Your testimonies which you have commanded are very faithful, says David. So this is the fourth principle. God's law reflects his great faithfulness. God is a faithful creator. And therefore his laws, every one of them, is for the benefit of mankind, the moral creatures that he has created. That's you and I. Because God's law is faithful to us and to what is good for us. This is important to grasp this. If you've not seen it before, God isn't playing games with us. He's not even testing us, although we will be judged by his law. But in giving us his law, God is blessing us. His law is faithful, faithfully given to us for our good. So we've got righteous, true, pure, faithful. And then God's law is eternal. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled, fixed in heaven. Concerning your testimonies, you have founded them forever. And this is the fifth great principle of God's law. God's laws never change. They're never amended. Not in the tiniest degree. Unlike the laws of man, which are constantly being changed around. God's laws never change, not to any tiny degree. They're the same today as when they were first given. And they will continue the same forever. God's law is eternal. And then the last one I think we can see here is that God's law is comprehensive. As David said, your commandment is exceedingly broad. It covers everything. I think we can see a principle here, the sixth principle. God's holy law covers everything. It contains the totality of righteousness. Nothing is lacking. Nothing has been overlooked. God's law is comprehensive. So these great principles reveal the standard of holiness to which God calls us and for which he has chosen and redeemed us. And this is the standard by which we are to live our lives as Christians. This is the standard that we are to aspire to and to seek after. And by God's grace, when we're in a better place, is the standard that we will achieve. And until then, we strive after it. So what is our response to these things, to these principles and to this standard of perfection that we see in God's law? Well, about half of the psalm that we've read is taken up with David's response to the law of God. It's quite a remarkable psalm, isn't it? He engages with the mighty law of God in a very personal way. And as we have seen, he's humbled by it. He said, "My soul cleaves to the dust. I think of your great law. I'm just crawling about on the dust. My flesh trembles. Fear of you. I'm afraid of your judgments. It's too much. It's too high. It's too great for me." And then I remember reading this as a much younger man, and I was touched by this verse. It says, "Rivers of waters run down my eyes because they keep not your law." He's crying. His tears are running. They're penitential tears. And he goes on to finish off by telling us, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep." Yes, David is humbled by his interaction with God's law. But the strange thing is, he's also elated by it. He says, "I have rejoiced." This is the whole spirit of the psalmist. It keeps coming back to this. This delight and this elation in the law of God. "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. I delight in your law. How sweet are your words to my taste. Your testimonies are wonderful. Oh, how I love your law." David is exhilarated. His enthusiasm and joy knows no bounds. Why? Because in the law he sees his God. He sees the character of God, the beauty and the glory of the Lord, the one who his Lord spoke to. The Lord spoke to his Lord, as we find in Psalm 110. It's the beauty of Christ, the beauty and the glory of Christ that he sees in the law. And that is what delights him, that's what causes him to be elated. And to say, "I love your law." But then David's third response is desire. He longs for more. You see that, don't you? How strongly it is expressed. Longing and panting for more. More of God. So what is our response when we personally interact with the law of God? Well, if we're honest, most of us kind of aspire to be where David was and to have that same spirit that he had and to truly be able to speak as he spoke and to pray and praise as he prayed and praised. But the reality is that too often we're not there. We're distracted by many things in our lives. Sometimes we're led astray by things that are not good. So how can we know more of this? How can we enter into more of the spirit of this psalm? How can we be humbled and be elated and long for more? Well, it's by doing what David did. It's by praying, by meditating in the Psalms and in other scriptures, and by seeking the help of the Holy Spirit, the helper who comes alongside to help us, to show us the things of Christ and of God. And this is where, isn't this where we actually want to be? Isn't it? We've read this psalm together. Isn't that where you want to be? I know it's where I want to be. I'm not there, but I do want to be there. And so there's something to do. We need to do what David did and to interact with God through his word, to meditate on the Psalms, to read a psalm or part of a psalm, to pray through it, put it in our pocket, take it out. A few hours later, read something else, meditate on it, pray about it, put it back in our pocket. Sometimes later, maybe 7 times a day. Now, I'm not there, but I sometimes get a bit closer to being there, and I want to be there. Do you? Isn't that where you want to be? To be where David is here, constantly being humbled by God's word, seeing your God, his character, being immersed in all that he is. Oh, yes, that's what I really want. But I'm some way off, and I'm hopelessly inconsistent. This brings us to our second point. First one was God's holy law reveals God's standard of holiness. And the second one is that God's holy law reveals the heart and the soul of holiness. If there is one thing that permeates the holy law of God, it is the holy love of God. David sees that in giving this law, this revelation of himself and in the law, God is acting graciously. This is something that is an expression of the grace of God. David finds a good God who gives life and hope and comfort. You read it time and again. You've given me life. This is my comfort. This is my hope. He's a God. He finds a God of merciful kindness, a God who's full of tender mercies. Oh, he finds the love of God. This is the heart and the soul of the law, and the heart and the soul of holiness. And it's wholehearted love. That's the love he has discovered. He has discovered the wholehearted love of God. And his response is to say, I seek you with what? My whole heart. With my whole heart I have sought you. That is his response. How I love your precepts. My soul keeps them, and I love them exceedingly. This is the supreme object of the law. Why did God give us his law? Was it just to condemn us? It was to condemn us, so that we might seek forgiveness, that we might seek salvation. But was that the only object? Was that even the supreme object of his law? Why did God give us his law? What is God looking for from us? Well, Jesus came to tell us. And this, he says, is what the law is about. This is what God is seeking. The whole thing is summarized in this: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and your neighbor as yourself. And so to live lives that reflect the wholehearted love of God, as this law that he's given us reflects his wholehearted love, so we, as we keep it, will reflect that same love as well. This is the heart and soul of God's law, and it's the heart and soul of holiness. Now, have you got this? Have you understood this? Have you realized? Have you thought of holiness as being something a bit kind of cold, something severe, something rigid, something harsh? Is God like that? Is he a cold God, a severe God, rigid and harsh God? No. That's a parody of God, promulgated and portrayed by legalistic religion. What's that? Legalistic religion that thinks it can be accepted by good works, by its own good works. And so it's very proud and very strict and very harsh. Legalistic. It sounds what it is. Legalistic. Ah. But, and yet, it's worse than that, because it thinks that serving God is about keeping a whole heap of rules, 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 to be kept. Now that is a parody of holiness. It's a parody of God. And it is a gross and ugly distortion. No. God is a God of love. He is love. A love that is righteous. A love that is true. A love that is pure. A love that is faithful. A love that is eternal. And as a love that is all-embracing. God's response is to say from the... Sorry, David's response is to say from the heart, I love you, Lord. It must be said, however, that although the holiness and love of God is seen in his holy love, holy law, these things are seen most of all in his holy Son, who fulfilled the law. Jesus did this in his life. See, if David could say, I have kept your testimonies, the best he was saying was that this is the way I try to live. I have kept your testimonies. That's been what I've tried to do. He could possibly say, you only got to read his other Psalms to find out how he needed to confess his sins so often. But these words, I have kept your testimonies, on the lips of Jesus, are absolutely true. So when you read those absolute statements, think of Jesus saying these things. He could say that. Jesus loved God his Father with all his heart, and his life demonstrated a wholehearted, self-giving love to all. No one ever spoke like him. No one ever loved like him. But it is when we turn our eyes to the cross, when we see there the full extent of his love, we see the perfect, spotless, holy, the Lamb of God nailed to a cross of wood. See that. Come and weep. See it. Come and weep. Come and mourn for your sin that pierced him there. Have you seen that? Was it your sin? Was it my sin? It was. That pierced him and nailed him to that cross with wounds so much deeper than the wounds of thorn and nail. And yet he triumphed. In his cross he triumphed for us and rose again in glory. So this is the heart and the soul of holiness, the holy love of God. And by his sanctifying grace, this is ours. So that we don't keep the law of God to gain the love of God. We keep the law of God because we have the love of God as a response to his law. And we see the beauty of God in it. We love it. It humbles us. But we love it and we long to know more of the truth of God that we find in all of his commandments. Well, I had planned to speak about the importance of developing a holy character. That's one to take home. And also about the importance of developing a culture of holiness in the church. But I think enough has been said for this evening. So I want to share with you, as we close, a brief personal reflection. I'm so glad of those two verses. My soul clings to the dust. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. I think if those two verses weren't in the psalm, I would despair. I had a great summer. I preached through the sermons on the upper room. We were in high places. It was all very wonderful. Then I started this series on holiness here and at Kettering. And far from what I expected, there would be a growth in zeal and spiritual fervour. There was a spiritual decline over these past couple of months. a decline in prayer and meditation, and a battle with sin and with self. It was almost like a reaction, that I was preaching on holiness and something in me was reacting against it. I wonder if anybody else has that experience. I guess probably so. Do share it. It seems as if when we seek holiness, then our enemies come out in force. But if I'm grateful for those two verses that speak of David's weakness, I'm also grateful for his repeated prayers, where he says, "Quicken me, revive me, O Lord, because I feel so very much in need of this." I have known a bit of quickening and reviving in some of my preaching lately, but not enough on the other days of the week. And we all need this. We all need to pray this prayer. Do we? Do you want to pray that tonight? Lord, just infuse life and energy, spiritual life into me. Quicken me. Revive me, Lord. Get me on the right road. Get me on the road of the highway of holiness. And then I love, you see, how many times does David pray, "Teach me your statutes"? What's that about? How very wrong we are to think that we know. To think that we know a little, but do we really know? And if we did really know what God's law was all about, would we be different to what we are? Brothers and sisters, we are all in the same boat. And to change the analogy, let us press on in the highway of holiness. And let's pray. Oh Lord, how we thank you that when we did go astray like lost sheep, the Good Shepherd came to seek us and to save us. We thank you that through him we have peace with God. We are justified and forgiven. And we thank you for this, Lord. We thank you too that we're to go on living in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the righteous requirements of the law may be fulfilled in us, who live not in our own efforts and our own flesh, but in the Spirit. And we pray that we might desire that. We pray that we might delight in it. We might seek after it. We confess, Lord, how far short we fall. We thank you for David's psalm. And we pray we'll take it with us and treasure it. And help us, O Lord, to renew our lives in seeking to live our lives by the standard of your holy law. And for your glory we pray. Amen.